Welcome, everyone. It's good to have you here with us. Welcome to those of you who are online. Good to see your faces on the screen there. Some people welcomed us back and commented that there was about a 30-degree difference in temperature between where we were in southern Ontario and what you had experienced here over Christmas, and my condolences. It was quite amazing to step off the plane and see green. And we had a green Christmas, which I was quite okay with, to be honest, because every day I would look at my phone and my weather app would show me Red Deer's temperature and it said minus 30 feels like minus 40. And I thought, these poor people. I'm looking at my parents' beautiful sunroom, which just has this big green field behind it, and it's all green. And green just brings me life, as I have said many times before. Even in January, when there should be snow and everyone's complaining that it's a green Christmas, I'm like, this is fantastic compared to what my phone is showing me right now. So anyway, but it's good to be back, and we are going to praise God that warmer temperatures are coming this week. We had a really good time seeing family. We got to see grandparents. We got to connect with some of the most important people to us and spend time with them. It was really nice. We had an absolutely horrible flight back, which I do not want to relive ever, and I don't wish upon my enemies. But nevertheless, we made it back, and thanks be to God, our luggage will arrive today on our doorsteps. But it's all good. And that's a story for another time. We're here to worship our God, and we're going to continue in worship. Why don't you grab your Bibles? I didn't put a call to worship up on the screen. We're going to be in Psalm 20 and then Psalm 21. And some of the most beautiful words in Scripture are right before those two psalms. And I thought, that's a good call to worship. Why don't we use these verses as our as the way of framing our time together here this morning? So it's Psalm 19, verse 14. Most of you, I'm sure, know this by heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's a good way to start the new year, isn't it? Yeah. I feel like we're starting the new year again because this is my first week back here with you, but I know you already started it. But this is the way we frame our year. We want to have the right posture before Jesus, and we know that he is our sustainer and our maker and our redeemer and our friend, and that's why we celebrate him this morning. We got some other things to celebrate as we move into prayer time. One is that I got an email from Teresa Jansen this morning saying that the friend named Bruce that we had been praying for, really battling with cancer, is now home and cancer-free. And it was just an amazing email to get. And we just, I sent a reply saying, well, I'll send that out in the prayer chain this week. And I will at some point, but there's just one more reason to celebrate this morning. So we can celebrate that one person got a good answer from the Lord. And many prayers were answered on that family's behalf. And so we celebrate with them. And then many of you know that we commissioned Noah Kadju to Africa via YWAM a number of months ago. And we sent him off, and we consider him one of our missionaries. Like, I know that many of you supported him individually, but we actually support him as a church, as a missionary this year. So he's one of our missionaries, as well as just being one of us. In the last week or so, as many of you know, he had, a number of weeks ago, he had been sent with YWAM into Cameroon, Africa, and there's been quite a bit of unrest there. And then the family got news that there was malaria in the team and COVID in the team and all of these delays. And then there was just silence for quite a while. And then the prayer request started going out like, we haven't heard from Noah. We haven't heard from Noah. And many of us who are, you know, this is obviously not our child, are like, it's okay. It's okay. God will provide. But, you know, as parents, that's something different when your kid's in Africa, right, where there's unrest and so on. And they got an email last night saying, I'm okay, or some contact with him last night saying, I'm okay, and the team is okay, and they're good, and God is providing. And so we celebrate with the Cadieu family this morning and go, and just as a church, that one of our missionaries is good, one of our kids is good, and God is continuing to be at work. And so we just have a number of reasons to celebrate this morning. So I'm glad that you shared that with me this morning. Thanks, Joel. Let's go to a time of prayer. Lord, with just a couple of stories, whether it's luggage that's going to show up today so my kid can wear his pants, or whether it's hearing about one of our kids who's made contact again with the family to say, I'm good, and God's providing, and we continue to trust him, or whether it's hearing about an answer to prayer where someone's health that you have touched in an amazing way, and there is now new hope for this family, all because of who you are. For these and so many more things, we say thank you, we say praise you, we say you are amazing. This is the reason why these are examples of why we show up here each week, not so that you know, necessarily check our boxes of the things we want you to do, but because we see you at work and we celebrate who you are, and these things show us your character, your deep love, your compassion, and your passion for your people. And so, Lord, bless you, praise you, thank you. Lord, as we reflect on those words from the psalm, we ask that as we open your word, may our heart's posture be such that it pleases you. May we approach you and your word as though you truly are our rock and our redeemer, our foundation, our strength, our source of life. May we come to you saying, not me, it's not about me, Lord, it's about you. We want to come to you to find that you are the strength, that you are the source, that you are the life, because that's who Jesus is. Lord, I think of Jesus' words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where people have the opportunity, you say, to build their lives in one of two ways. And it's either on Jesus, or it's going to last, or it's on nothing, essentially building on dust. And Lord, we want to be the people that build on Jesus. So Lord, would you have your way among us here so that we build on Jesus, so that you build us up in Jesus. Lord, would you open our minds and our hearts this morning to your scriptures, not simply to words on a page, but to the way that those words are living and active through your spirit, and they bring life and hope. Lord, would you bring life and hope this morning? Would you show us how you answer prayer? Would you show us what you are doing and what you want to do in our lives? Lord, may 2022 look like 2021, only better, because you continue to be at work among your people. So we bless you, Lord. Would you turn our lives into worship songs for Jesus. Amen. I don't know, those of you who are parents, I don't know if you've ever had those exasperated moments where a child has asked you over and over again for something, and you have given the same answer over and over again. We went through a phase with a couple of our kids where they would ask us a question, and then they would ask it again later with different words, but it was still the same question. It was just, we were having the same conversation on repeat. And we got to the point where we actually just started saying, asked and answered. You asked. It has been answered. We will not repeat this conversation again. Asked and answered. And if you strip away every part of that analogy, all the bad parenting and the exasperation and the lack of, sometimes just lack of patience and all that, and you just take asked and answered, what you're going to find in our Psalms today is asked and answered from a good father who does not get exasperated at his kids, who appreciates when you ask, and who is ready and willing to answer in ways that you are not even ready to receive because they are so much better than what you're willing to ask for. Asked and answered comes just through these two Psalms in some amazing ways. Would you make sure that you are in Psalm 20 and then Psalm 21? These two Psalms are written about a king. And so you may not see the immediate leap between a king and where you're at today. But if you notice at the very beginning of the psalm, of each of them, it has a little heading that says, to the leader. Do you see that there? To the leader. Your translation might say, to the worship leader. These two psalms may have started out being directed towards a king, but they ended up in Israel's worship book. In other words, they ended up applying far beyond simply one highly privileged individual. They end up, God inspires these psalms in such a way that these can be applied to your life as well. I'm not always going to draw the immediate parallel between the king and between your life. That's part of the work that you and the Holy Spirit are going to have to do together, though I will attempt at times. But let me simply say that as we talk about a king, we're still talking about your life. Okay, this is for you. Trust me, this is for you. Secondly, it's going to sound like what I am giving you is a formula. If you read through the Psalms, this can in no way be a formula. Think of it more like a path. And if a person walks the same way long enough through a field, they start to create a path, right? Think of what we talk about today as one of the regular paths God takes as he interacts with his children, okay? This is not a formula. I cannot promise you that if you follow everything that I say that these Psalms are saying today, you will essentially put your coin into the vending machine, push the button, and your pop will come out exactly the way you want. I can't promise you that. What I can tell you is that this is a path God regularly walks with his kids. Will he walk it with you? I think he will. I think he often does. Will it be in every situation that you face? Not at all. But I think that there is a lot of hope here for a lot of us this morning, and we are going to observe one of the many paths that God takes with his kids. And you can go, God, take this path with me. Does that make sense? It's not a formula, but it's going to sound like one, and that's why I'm telling you that up front. Let's read those first five verses. Lord, the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. These are prayers. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor all your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your victory and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Stop there for a moment. In this world, you will have trouble. Yes. I heard tribulation. Yes. Also. Yes. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Verse 1. Right? So this obviously then applies to more than kings because more than kings have trouble. This is for you too. And the first thing that happens when they hit trouble is they pray. That's where it starts. It's the automatic prayer that you see someone going through something. And notice it's not the king praying, it's someone praying on behalf of that leader. Are you observing leaders these days that need this prayer? Whether it's for a church or a city or a province or a country, are you noticing that someone else needs this prayer? That the Lord would answer them in the day of trouble. Please pray it for your church. Do you notice this really interesting thing that it says here right after that? Right after it says, "The Lord, I pray that the Lord would answer this person's trouble." It says, "I pray that the Lord would actually answer the desires of this person's heart, the king's heart." That sounds like a blank check, doesn't it? Do you see that? Verse 4, verse 4 and verse 5. May the Lord grant you the desires of your heart. It sounds like a blank check, is it? May he fulfill all of your requests, the end of verse 5 says. What does it assume? It assumes that this king is doing what the king is supposed to be doing, right? Deuteronomy says that the king is to be the one person that gets their personal copy of the book, and that he is to meditate on this book day and night. In other words, it is the king that is supposed to be the one of the people in the kingdom that has the most access to the very mind and heart of God and meditates on it to such a degree that God's desires and God's will becomes the king's heart and the king's will becomes your heart and your will. And that's why the psalmist can say, May the Lord of the universe grant you the desires of your heart. It's assuming that you are already in the process of getting God's desires. That's what is assumed here. And what needs to happen? There's a lot written in this book, right? There are a lot of things that we are told to do. What needs to happen, though, is not only for the king to, I guess what I would do is I would call it alignment, that as we begin to meditate on this book, as we begin to understand the ways that God works, as we begin to seek his heart and hear his voice, and we begin to get a sense of what he wants to do for us, there needs, and through us, there needs to become an alignment that takes place, not only between God's desires and ours, but then by the way that he wants us to work it out in the sphere of influence that he's given us, in this king's particular kingdom. What's your kingdom? What's your sphere of influence? There needs to be an alignment that takes place between heaven and me and my circle, my sphere of influence. And so it's not simply that we go to scripture and we see this is what God wants, and then we go like sort of copy and paste into our world. There's also something else that needs to take place. It's what we've been talking about, as Sarah said a few moments ago, for months. There needs to be that conversation, that listening piece, that recognition that this is what God is saying to me in particular at the moment, so that I understand how this applies in more specific ways to me and my circle. It requires an alignment between me and God's voice, that we actually begin to follow and walk in step with the Spirit of God. And of course, the king was the person who was uniquely anointed by God with the Spirit in those days. Prophets, kings, sorry for the rest of you, in the Old Testament. Of course, that doesn't apply here now, right? Because you all get it. And therefore, we all have to then be living up to that different standard, that we now need to be walking in step with the Spirit, that we listen for the Spirit as we read the Word. We begin to recognize the ways that God speaks in particular ways to his people. And he says, I want to use you in this way in the world. You know, one of the ways that he's going to speak to you, one of the ways that you're going to begin to recognize that alignment is if you see the gifts that God gives you. If you see the places that he has placed you in, as you begin to recognize, oh, I fit here because he's done this in me, and therefore I can be at work here because that's what God actually wants. It's not simply that we randomly copy and paste God's word into our lives, is that we recognize that God speaks to us individually and he sent us to particular places on a mission. And he's given us particular gifts for that particular location. That's your calling. And when there's that kind of alignment, then the psalmist can say, God grant you the desires of your heart, because that's your calling. That's what he's gifted you for. That's what he's equipped you for. That's what he's commissioned you to. And then notice the confidence that takes place. Keep looking. Verse 6. It's gone from prayers. There's a switch now that takes place. We went from prayers to something different. Verse 6. Now I know that the Lord will help his anointed. He was just asking, but then there's something that just took place there that has caused a switch in this person, where he went from asking to a recognition that God is about to do it. Now I know that the Lord will help his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with mighty victories by his right hand. Some take pride in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God. They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise and stand upright. What happened there? There was just prayer. But all of a sudden, this person who has been praying develops a confidence to the point of saying, I no longer need to ask. I have now been assured that my prayer is about to be answered. I want to pray that way. It takes an element of trust. You see that? Verse 7? Some trust in their chariots, right? In other words, that's the most powerful thing a king could have, right? For you, it might be your bank account or your education or whatever your sort of golden ticket is. But for the king, it was the chariots and the horses, right? And that's where he would put his trust. And they're saying, no. He doesn't trust in any of those things. The assurance that he has a victory for the things that he has been praying about has nothing to do with the resources that he has. It has to do with God. Skip ahead to Psalm 21 and also verse 7. The king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. The reason that this person praying has confidence that his prayer will be answered has only to do with his trust in who God is and whatever took place in that prayer time. As he prayed, perhaps as he listened, perhaps as God gave him an answer, I don't know. But at least as far as the psalm goes, Psalm 20, by the time we reach the end of Psalm 20, last verse, I didn't read it, but it just says, give victory to the king, O Lord, answer us when we call. There's no answer by the end of Psalm 20. All we've had is a prayer and then suddenly an assurance that my prayer will be answered. But the answer hasn't actually come. That's a supreme amount of trust and confidence in God, isn't it? May we begin to ask for that level of faith in God, that level of confidence and trust. The answer comes in Psalm 21. Look at it. In your strength, the king rejoices, O Lord. And in your help, how greatly he exalts. You have given him, what does it say? His heart's desire. Did we just talk about his heart's desire? The very thing that the king had been asking for in Psalm 20, you gave him. You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You've set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked you for life, and you gave it to him. Length of days, forever and ever. His glory is great. So speaking about the king's glory is great because of you, through your help, Lord. Splendor and majesty, you've given him. You have put blessings on him forever. Sorry, I'm going to stop there. That's what God did. God answered the prayer. God answered the prayer after there was this incredible level of confidence that it was coming. Joel was just telling me as they were praying for Noah last night that Kevin had said, Lord, we know that Kevin is okay, or that Noah is okay, but would you please get Noah in touch with his family so that they know he's okay? That's the kind of confidence we're talking about. It's that level of assurance that we know that even though we haven't seen the prayer answered, it has been answered. Now we're just looking for the confirmation. And that's what the second psalm here celebrates. I want that level of confidence. I want that level of trust in who my God is, that I can pray and just know it's done. He's got it. I don't have to worry. I can finally live the way Jesus wanted me to live, which was do not worry. I've spent my whole life worrying. What I love about this psalm, one of the things I love about this psalm, is that there is an anticipation of even more victory. So skip ahead to verses 8 to 12. It's like just a description of war. Having been given the king, having been given all of the victories that he had asked for, suddenly there's this confidence that God's just going to take care of all the ones that he has not even asked for yet. So, and it just goes on, like for five verses, your hand will find out all your enemies. And this is speaking about the Lord on the king's behalf. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You'll make them like a fiery furnace when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their offspring from the earth and their children from among humankind. If they plan evil against you, if they devise mischief, you will not succeed. They will not succeed, for you will put them to flight. You will, speaking again of the Lord, you will aim your bow at their very faces. God will take care of the enemies. The king, having gone through prayer, having submitted his prayer requests to the Lord, having come into alignment with his calling as the king, with the gifts that he has been given, with the sphere of influence that he has, as he has offered his prayers, has come to a point of assurance that my prayers are going to be answered. And having developed that confidence and trust in who God is, then gets his prayer answered. And then develops so much confidence that it's like, God will take care of all of the things that you haven't even yet asked for. God will give you more. There is an anticipation of more here, more provision that hasn't even been asked for yet. How about for your life? So what are the things these days that are putting you in the position of chapter or Psalm 20, verse 1, the Lord answer you in the day of trouble? Where's the trouble for you today? Is it a job? Is it a parenting situation? Is it stupid COVID? Where's your trouble? And has there been an alignment yet in your prayer life between your heart for a particular situation, whether it's for your kid or your job or a family member, a health situation, COVID affecting something, whatever it is? Has there been an alignment yet between your will and God's will? Has he begun to show you his heart for that particular situation to the point that you could actually point to chapter and verse? For this is God's heart for this particular situation, whether it's parenting, and you've said, this I know from scripture, this is the way I am to raise my kids. Or I know from scripture, this is God's will for my life in this next season. I have submitted it to him. Well, like, whatever it is, whatever your day of trouble is, have you processed it in prayer to the point where he has rearranged your heart to show you his desires to the point that you can actually say, Lord, give me my desires because I know that they're yours. Have you gone through that process? Have you come out the other side, or are you ready to go through that? Because if you do, you can come out the other side saying, I now have a confidence that God is going to answer this. I have not yet seen the answer, but I have been assured that it is coming. Because that does happen in prayer. It's not a formula, let me remind you, but this is one of the paths that God takes with his kids. And then when the answer comes, what it's going to do is show you, not only does God answer prayer, but he will go beyond. And that's what verses 8 to 12 just showed us here for this king. God not only answered the victories that the king had in store, but said, I'm going to take care of the ones you haven't even asked for. That's what God wants to do. In 2020, we started a prayer time at the church here. And what we started doing was saying, take your regular prayer requests for Aunt so-and-so and your neighbor so-and-so elsewhere. Because what we are going to do on this particular prayer time is pray for God to move in our church in ways that look like he moved in Scripture. And what we did is start praying and submitting those, saying we were in the day of trouble. This was when COVID was hitting, and like what's happening with church now, and just seeing like we don't have answers. What we have are prayer requests that God do something that we can't do here. And so we started praying, and we started praying specifically for the church, that God would do things that look like he did in Scripture, but we hadn't seen. We brought our prayers to God with chapter and verse over and over and over again. We brought our desires into alignment with his, and we had to wait. And we prayed and we waited and we prayed and we waited. That was in 2020. God answered in a few ways in 2020, but most of the answers came in 2021. Do you know what happened in 2021? In many ways, as a result of those prayers, at least 6 people in this church had a physical healing in 2021. You don't get all those stories. I don't share them all with you. They're those people's stories to share or not as they see fit. Occasionally, I get someone up on stage. 6 people, at least 6 or 7 people went through a healing prayer time. Sometimes we call this inner healing. Sometimes we call it deliverance. Neither of those terms are particularly amazing. And so sometimes we just call it healing prayer. 6 or 7 people are living a life of freedom today from something that had been plaguing them for days, weeks, years before, because God met them. And their lives are different now. We talked about Noah. We had a kid baptized here. I still call him a kid. He's 18 and in Africa. So we had a young man here baptized who went to YWAM and had an encounter with the Spirit. And before we know it, is prophesying. And you saw the video. And he's saying, like, I'm going to go And while every other 18-year-old is, not every other, I shouldn't paint them that way, but like so many people are selfish, I'm going to go and serve other people for this year and share the good news about Jesus. That's got to work, my friends. You've seen the kids I've had up on stage as they have shared about the voice of God so clear in their lives that they are hearing him and seeing him with ridiculous clarity, like Samuel, like Jeremiah, like Jesus. I have had a number of adults come up to me just in the last few weeks before I left for vacation saying, I'm getting dreams from God, or I'm starting to hear his voice. Could you help me understand this more? Or I'm so hungry, or I saw a vision while I was actually in church on Sunday. So I get more of the stories than you do, but let me just share with you, God is working. We've been praying, and God has been working. Let me remind you of the wave of forgiveness and reconciliation that went one person at a time through this congregation in 2021. We prayed, and we aligned our heart with God's heart, and he started answering. Let me remind you about the, you know, that weird cigarette butt thing that spoke to so many of you about holiness, about the neighborhood, about God speaking to his people in ways that we had never been prepared for or thought were still happening. And then not only does he speak to his people, but some of those people get up in the middle of the service and say, this is what God's saying. And you don't even realize it, but that was called prophecy. It's like stuff he's still doing. What I just shared with you of what happened in 2021, we're not the weird blips on the radar screen of Unity Baptist as though, oh, there and gone. What we have seen, what I have just shared with you is the result of prayer, is the result of people coming into alignment with God's purposes, of the result of waiting and trusting that God will be at work. And then he starts to answer. And those stories that I shared with you are not the weird exceptions to church life. These are called the forerunner stories of what God is doing and wants to do even more in 2022. That's the point of the Psalms here, right? That God's at work when people pray and they put their confidence in him, that he will do something, and then he does something. And what that produces is a confidence that he's going to do even more. Welcome to 2022, friends. I have no idea what story God's going to do, but it's going to be more awesome than 2021. Because I hope, I didn't hear any amens, but I do hope that some of you were at least celebrating here silently with me that these are good things God did. Oh, that's so weak. You're still Baptist. And so am I. I anticipate more victory because I've seen what God has done. Right? That's what this psalm is about. These two psalms are about putting confidence in God that we are going to see more victory this year than last year. And let me remind you that it's for everyone. It's for everyone. Joel and I were talking on the phone yesterday. We were talking about some of the things that God had just done that I just mentioned here. But the conversation turned, and before we knew it, the way we were ending with was all the things that I just mentioned about people getting healed physically or inner healing or people hearing from God. Like, in the end, it was like we're really happy for the people who are touched. That's great. But this stuff is gravy compared to, I got Jesus in 2021 in a way like I didn't have Jesus before that. And so this is just the gravy, like the stories I just shared with you. This is the icing on the cake, not to minimize what God did or minimize your story or something like that. It's just like, I do get excited about that, but not nearly as excited as I get about, I got Jesus in ways that bring me so much joy, I can't explain it. Psalm 21, verse 6. You bestow on him, the king, blessings forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. I think the victories were the gravy. The real good stuff is that you get Jesus. So if 2022 has zero healings, I don't care. I got Jesus. That's enough. And if you don't yet have that, if you don't yet have that passion or that hunger, then you need to talk to us and find out how to get it, because there is a way. Let's pray. Lord, I praise you. You are amazing. I thank you so much for the ways that you answer prayers, for the ways that in prayer you instill in us a confidence for who you are, that you can be trusted, that you do answer your children. I thank you that in prayer you bring our desires into alignment with yours. I thank you that as your Spirit is at work, as we read your word, you conform us to the image of Christ. I thank you that because of these things, as we walk in step with your Spirit, we can recognize that you are calling us to a place that we don't fully understand, but don't care if we're not understanding it, because we have Jesus and we trust where you are leading. So, Lord, thank you for the gift of yourself. Thank you for the joy that comes with you. Thank you for the freedom that you bring. Thank you for the many answers to prayer. Thank you for the many answers to prayer that are coming because of who you are. We love you, Lord. This is my prayer for unity, that every single one of us would be like this king who experiences the joy of your presence, and all the victories are gravy. In Jesus' name, amen. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit carry you through this week, step by step. Blessings, everyone.